The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Does the word saved in the Bible always refer to eternal salvation? Welcome to Grace in Focus from the Grace Evangelical Society. We are very glad that you are with us today as we continue our Romans series with Catherine Wright and Ken Yates. By the way, the Grace Evangelical Society is starting an online seminary that will be free for all who maintain at least a B average. You can earn an MDiv degree. For more information and to register, go to our website, faithalone.org. You will find there a tab for seminary in our navigation menu. Everything you need is right there, including how to contact us for more about the seminary. That's faithalone.org and find seminary in our navigation menu. I'll repeat this at the end of today's discussion, which starts right now. Here are Ken Yates and Catherine Wright.
Now, we are in Romans 10 today, which, if you've been following this series, we've talked about the Romans Road, and this is probably the high point. This is probably the most famous stop on the Romans Road.
Right, which we've already said we disagree with.
Yeah.
And remember, he's talking about the nation of Israel, and we see this right in verse 1. Paul says that the desire of his heart is on behalf of Israel for their salvation. What does he mean by that? Does Paul simply mean, I want to see the nation of Israel saved from hell? And we've argued all throughout Romans that this word salvation in the book of Romans never means salvation from hell.
Mm-hmm.
It is a salvation all the way back in chapter 1, which is from the wrath of God. That is what Paul is praying for the nation of Israel. And that is a present experience of God's wrath.
Mm-hmm. We talked about it at the beginning of chapter 9. Now, this is a unit. 9, 10, and 11 is speaking of the nation of Israel. 9 looking at their past, and now we're looking at the present for Paul as he's looking at the nation of Israel. And I think Paul's scared for them because he knows the wrath that is going to come upon the nation is not going to be pretty. And we mentioned in our last podcast, 70 AD is coming.
And they are under God's wrath.
Yes.
Currently under God's wrath.
Mm-hmm.
They are suppressing the truth.
They're hardened their hearts.
Right. They are, you know, in the book of Romans, we would say they're walking according to the flesh, which we saw in Romans 8, the unbeliever has no choice but to walk that way.
Right.
But Paul is describing the nation as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And they are under the wrath. And he is praying for their deliverance. A full-orbed salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Salvation in light of all that Paul has said in Romans 1 through 8.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about in verses 2 and 3 that the Jews are now trying to establish their own righteousness through the law, which Paul argued in chapters 1, 2, and 3, and 4, mm-hmm. that you can't do that. The law will not result in righteousness. The unbelieving Jewish nation has a zeal for God, but it's a zeal that is born out of ignorance because they think that they can obtain it by doing the law.
Mm-hmm.
And as Paul said in Romans 3, verses 9 through 20, by the works of the law, no flesh will be made righteous.
Yeah, so for the Jewish mindset there, if we go down in the temple and we kill our goats and we do, you know, our little cleansing rituals, this is what is going to please God and he will not curse me.
Right.
That's the idea. Here and now, it's you will bless me or you'll curse me mentality.
Right. And so in verses 6 and 7, Paul says, do not say in your heart who will go up into heaven to bring Christ down or who will go into the abyss to bring him up from the dead. What Paul probably has in mind there is the Jews were waiting for the Messiah. So don't say in your heart, okay, who's going to go up into heaven to bring the Messiah down?
Mm-hmm.
He's already here.
And you've rejected him.
That's right, you've rejected him. And this statement about who will go down into the abyss to bring him up is because probably Paul was mocked mm-hmm. by unbelieving Jews who said, some Christ you preach, he's in the grave.
Yeah. Mm.
But Paul says, no. You don't say that in your heart that we're going to bring up the Messiah, your Messiah, Paul, because he's already been raised. He's been raised from the dead. And that takes us to verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. that is a word of faith which we preach. And so Paul says, the Christ has already come down. He's risen from the dead. Believe in him. You will be declared righteous. It is not through the law. And then he's going to remind his readers how to be delivered from wrath once you've done that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just reminds me, too, of the power of the resurrection, right, has been something we've discussed, too, that the same power that resurrected Christ lives within us, within the believer, and we can call upon him to deliver us from the wrath of God in our lives. So I think you're seeing some of that imagery that we've already unpacked in some of our previous episodes, that this one that you're mocking, who was, you know, supposedly dead in the grave, has resurrected. And in that resurrection, there's a power that you need to live righteously, not through the law, but through him.
Right. And now we get down into the nitty gritty.
Yeah, we do.
Of the Roman road. And when we get to verse 9, we're going to see verses that probably the majority of our listeners have heard in a gospel presentation.
Yeah.
And I hope for those who follow this podcast, you understand that's not what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to read verse 9. Mm-hmm. Paul says this, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. One of the reasons Catherine and I have just harped on this word saved in the book of Romans is, again, most evangelicals see the word saved there and they think Paul means saved from hell. And what we have argued is, no, the word saved there is saved from God's wrath.
Mm-hmm.
And in verse 9, when Paul says you need to do two things mm-hmm. in order to be saved from God's wrath, he says you must confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear that in gospel presentations. What does it mean to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus? Some will say, well, that's a sinner's prayer. Some will say you got to make him Lord of your life if you want to go to heaven.
Or confess your sins, I think a lot of the time is what I hear
too. Right. So what do you think it means, Catherine, when he says, confess with him Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead?
Well, you know, I've heard you say this before. It's kind of interesting that he's saying that there is a verbal or external, we could say, proclamation that you are confessing him publicly is the emphasis here. And so to go back to one of the arguments that we've been making is that this is not talking about salvation. Well, if we're going to say that this is salvation from hell, then that's a work. To publicly confess the Lord is a work. That is something that others are going to have to identify. Also, just as kind of like a side comment, what if you're a mute? What if you can't say it verbally, out loud? Are we saying that people who can't speak can't be saved from hell? Just kind of a side comment.
Or what if you're just a particularly shy person?
Yeah, that's a really good point.
You know, someone like that thinks, I believe, but I'm afraid I'm going to say something stupid.
Yeah.
You know,
just self-conscious.
I don't want to offend anybody or something like that.
And also just another issue with that argument that this is a requirement for salvation is, what do you do with Cornelius, who we're told in Acts 10 believed in his household while Peter was still preaching?
Everybody in there.
Yeah.
And
there's no confession.
Never
said a word. In the middle of the sermon.
And nobody in the Bible is saved from hell by saying a prayer.
Yeah.
And so in following what we've been saying in Romans, what we say is that this is not a deliverance from hell, but a deliverance from God's wrath.
Right.
And that before you can call, and Zane makes this point in his commentary, before you can confess him, you have to believe that he's risen from the dead. He's alive for you to hear.
Yeah.
And so,
right.
So he is risen.
Mm-hmm.
And now the believer calls upon him, confesses him as Lord. He is the one who is able to deliver us
mm-hmm.
from the wrath of God.
So there's two components here.
Exactly.
Believe
And then
confess.
Right.
So step one, you believe and you are righteous.
Right.
Then, and when you confess, you'll be saved. So two separate steps and two separate benefits.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I can believe and be declared righteous, but not call upon him, not confess him as Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And there are believers who are not delivered from the wrath of God because they walk according to the flesh. They walk according to legalism, whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
And so in verses 9 and 10, Paul is talking about confessing Jesus as Lord. Now, Zane does something else in his commentary that I think is really good. He sees this confession as something that is done as a body of believers.
Yeah, going back to the corporate emphasis, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And I think he refers, for example, in 1 Corinthians 1, all who call upon the name to the church, to the church at Corinth, and to all who call upon the name of the Lord, that this is a corporate thing. Obviously, individual believers can do it as well, but it is a body confession that our Lord is risen from the dead and is able to deliver us from the power of sin.
And I think he argues that from verse 12, right?
Right. Yeah, I'm a little bit ahead of myself. Right.
Yeah.
But the confession here and the salvation here is not talking about salvation. Well, we hope this helped, and we will continue looking at these verses in chapter 10 that play such a, unfortunately, major role in the Roman road, which is used for evangelism, which it should not be. We hope you've enjoyed it, and remember, keep grace in focus.
The Grace Evangelical Society is starting an online seminary where you can take specific classes or earn an MDiv degree. First Year Greek starts week of August the 6th. Many other classes start the week of August the 20th. Go to our website, faithalone.org. You will find there a tab for seminary in our navigation menu. Everything you need is right there, including professors, application deadlines, class schedules, and how to contact us for more about the seminary. If you're interested, we need to hear from you soon. For information or to register, that's faithalone.org and find seminary in our navigation menu. Our goal at the Grace Evangelical Society is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Please come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. You'll be glad you did. God loves a cheerful giver, and that's why we think our financial partners are some of the happiest people in the world. If you would like to learn how to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus, we would very much appreciate it. Learn more at faithalone.org. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here is our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next episode, why does Paul sometimes refer to the gospel as my gospel? Join us next time on Grace in Focus. This is the Grace Evangelical Society. Until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.